This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
You're gonna get bored by baseball.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
There's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Craig Breslau.
Is that true?
People ask that, and I mean it every time. I mean it every time. It is true.
How many different people have you said that there's nobody that you would prefer to
How many
talk
people
to
have I had on the podcast?
Yeah.
Well, however many. I mean, do it. I don't want to get too far into it, but my point is that when I sit down and talk, this is what I love doing. I love talking to people. It also jacks me up for the conversation. Right? Let's go. And it also brings a smile to everyone's face.
It does.
I mean, don't you like hearing that?
Yeah, flattery works. It works every time.
All right. So I am interested, like, from a decision maker, a president of baseball operations, chief baseball officer, GM, whatever, whoever we may talk to, you get to this point in spring training. Last year was your first time doing it. How does this feel different? Because last year was sort of you were doing your best to build your first team. Now you basically have 2 years to build your second team. How does this feel different as we go into the regular season?
Yeah, I think we're better positioned just because, you know, I've got a year's worth of experience under my belt, but I also have a year's worth of relationships and conversations, and I understand better how folks in the office think about things, how our coaching staff thinks about things, how AC thinks about things. And so we've been able to have dialogue going back to October. You know, we've got the information about players who have taken a step forward last year. We've been able to watch them over the course of a full season. We obviously made some additions this offseason, but I just think that the conversation has been far more candid and open and frequent. And also, I think at this point, a lot of the roster, outside of maybe a handful of spots, is pretty self-evident, you know, as a result of that combination of what guys have done last year and who we've brought in.
You had said, and I've recited this to you a couple different times, which I liked, like you wanted to be more aggressive and more decisive in the offseason. And obviously, you make some big moves. And you had the plan laid out, and there can be bobbing and weaving all over the place. But as it landed, you're never gonna. I know the answer is you're never gonna get everything you want. But if you said to at the beginning of the offseason to like where you sit now, we'd say, okay, you know, I accomplished pretty much what I want. And if that wasn't the case, what did you feel like you fell short on in accomplishment, with the understanding that it's a long season?
Sure. So, you know, we will be talking about the success or failures of the season in 10 months based on the number of games that we win, right? And that's appropriate. That's right. That's how things should be. What we evaluate today is, you know, where did we see the greatest opportunity to improve our team, and did we go out and address those things? I think the answer to that question today is we did. But I'm sure we got some things wrong. I'm sure there are going to be guys who surprise us in both directions. But, you know, from the standpoint of wanting to add depth and quality to the rotation, wanting to rebuild the back end of the bullpen, you know, improve the infield defense, get a right-handed bat, like, yeah, I think you could go through and say, hey, we've checked those boxes. Now we have to go out and we have to perform and execute.
So You know, part of that is obviously, you know, this has been a really interesting spring training. Honestly, thank you. Thank you for that. No, I mean, it was like, it's like, okay, it's interesting because you have new notable guys and you've had these like three prospects. You know, I know you have other prospects, but we get a chance to see him play. It's not like, you know, coming in the seventh inning in Lakeland, you know, it's
right.
You know, the three prospects, that was part of this. You have an idea of what a first-time Major League camp looks like. You've seen guys in first-time Major League camps. It can go either way. How did you feel with Christian Campbell, with Marcelo Meyer, and Roman Anthony Wynn?
Yeah, well, I think while it's easy to lump the three of them together, it's also important to talk about them as three individuals.
Yeah, right? That's because what I actually, want you to do that. Yeah.
Well, they all had kind of different camps. You know, they play different positions largely. I think they are three uniquely talented players, but they all have a game that's you know, kind of unique to each of them. And so, you know, there are certain things that stand out, whether we talk about, you know, the maturity of Roman as a 20-year-old in his first big league camp. And, you know, we all saw in the breakout game just how hard he can hit the ball. And his approach in the box is very, very mature. And Marcelo's a guy that I think a lot of people didn't really know what to expect, given some, you know, injuries have kept him off the field at times, and he stepped right in and looked like he belonged and fit in, and he's got you know, a confidence about him, in addition to being a really, really talented player. And then, you know, last year at this time, we would have never been talking about Christian, right? And, and now he comes in into camp and has a chance to win a job, and we see the athleticism, you see the tools, and I think you've kind of seen the trajectory from when he first showed up at camp and you know, was probably pressing a little bit and was starting to swing at pitches outside the zone, which is something that we just don't see from him, you know, up until, think about yesterday and having, you know, a handful of really good at-bats, the ball that he hit to center that was an out, but I think maybe laid the foundation for the next at-bat when he hit a ball out the other way. And, you know, and so I think it was it's a great experience for all of those guys because, you know, it's their first extended exposure to a major league environment. And I think every one of those should kind of, regardless of how things land, walk away understanding that they have the talent, the ability to perform at the major league level, and also there's plenty of development that still needs to happen.
To go with Christian, when did you feel like it turned for him? And I watched way too many spring training innings, right? And I saw it. Like, I saw that kid's pressing. He's swinging it a lot. He's swinging and missing a lot. That isn't his game. And then it did seem like it turned for him a little bit. And not the finished product, but still.
Right. And I don't know that I would say we could point to a particular play and say, like, okay, the switch just turned. I think it was a series of incremental improvements, whether it was, you know, a couple really, really good defensive plays he made at second base a couple weeks ago, and then the play that he made in Minnesota when Buxton tried to stretch a ball down the line into a double, and then turning a double play, and then you know, a good at bat that ended up in a walk, and then a good at bat that ended up in a lineout, finally a good at bat that ended up in a home run, right? Like, I don't know that it was you know, this single moment in time as opposed to a process, and I think that's what you should expect for, you know, 22-year-old kids.
But you know, like, I obviously hadn't seen him play a lot. You see him play on video, but you don't get a chance to. This is the most you've seen him play, right? Mm-hmm. And so, was there a point in time? Like you say, it's not like a moment,
right.
But hey, this could work. Like, this could work. I've seen this, still a work in progress, but this could work.
Well, I think that's true of all three of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like I said, camp was a different opportunity for each of them, just based on the positions that they play, the experience, the age, all of the expectations, all of those things. But if you see any of those guys work, whether that's, you know, in defensive work before a game, in the cages, you know, like, hey, this can work.
Mm. And when you look at the potential of a guy like Christian playing second base in Major League, with the understanding there is a work in progress, and I overly cite the Pedroia in 2007,
mm-hmm.
right? But you've seen instances like that, right? Is that something you say, hey, listen, you don't have to win Rookie of the Year, any of these guys, or I'm focused on Christian, but you don't have to win Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah, I think Alex probably said it best, or he talked about, kind of young guys coming up and being complementary pieces and not feeling like they needed to shoulder the entirety of the responsibility for the success of the team. And I think that's what a well-balanced roster does, right? It's like, you know, whether it's Christian or Roman or Marcelo, we're going to be able to try and ease the transition as best we can because we have guys like Rafi and Alex and Jaron and others.
Which not every organization can. I go back to, again, the Pedroia thing. He hit ninth. It's okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a good thing. An oddly specific thing, but something that you can answer or you can't, or maybe you won't. The last week of spring training, you put Marcelo Meyer at second base. Mm-hmm. He hadn't played there. He hadn't barely worked out there. So that sent up into a tizzy for a day or whatever, until a day and a half. What was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, I think the thinking was, you know, he was a guy who, like I said, coming in, the organization didn't have a chance to see him play a ton, just given injuries have kept him off the field. But he acclimated very, very quickly, and he looked super comfortable, and we want to give ourselves as much flexibility and as many options as possible, and felt like, hey, you know what, this guy's earned a chance to see what it looks like at second. We know, you know, he came up as a shortstop, we know he can play defense, and mm-hmm. I think we saw that and felt like the transition would be pretty easy, but our job, our commitment is to put the best team on the field, and if that means, you know, Marcelo getting reps outside of
shortstop.
Well,
it was a day.
And it looked good.
It did look good. That's my point. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, you know, I try. We all listen. We all try to figure this stuff out. This is what we do.
Right.
But that was, as many spring trainings as I've seen, that was a tough one for me to figure. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
He looked good. But it was a day. So anyway, you're not going to answer. It's fine. It's depth. Just say depth. Deep depth. You talk about the things that you didn't. Last year there was so much to do, and this year there's still so much to do. And last year you signed a couple of guys to extensions too. You know, in your new position, you hadn't had to do that. You haven't had to approach agents and players with this dynamic, which is such an important dynamic. And obviously, Crochet is the guy at the top of the mountain when it comes to this. What has been your experience when talking to these guys? I know everybody's different, mm-hmm. but it is a very weird thing. Not weird, but interesting thing, I guess. Trying to get locked up. The Atlanta Braves did it, right? Mm-hmm. We always cite that.
Right.
From your perspective over the last 2 years, what have you learned about it, approaching extensions?
I think what I have learned is that every one of them is a unique case, and players make decisions for all types of reasons, and players are in very different stages of their careers and their personal lives, and some people are thinking about their families and stability, and others are thinking about financial security, and you're thinking about a combination of all of those things. But, you know, I think what we as an organization can do to position ourselves as strongly as possible is to create this winning environment to ensure that our players feel like they've got the resources here, they feel like they're taken care of and invested in, so that this is a place where guys want to spend a significant majority or the entirety of their career.
But you have to sell that in spring training, you know, like, I mean, not for the guys who have already been here, but a guy like Garrett was like, you have to basically, you know, it's not like you're shipping him up to, hey, let's take a duck tour of Boston, you know?
Right. No, that's true. But players are perceptive, and, I think they recognize the direction that the organization is headed and where we stand maybe relative to other teams in the league in terms of the strength and depth of our young players, the emergence of this core. And I think guys who decide to sign extensions here do so because they love Boston, and they love the organization, and they want to win, and they feel like this is the perfect marriage of both of those.
You've been very generous with your time. Last question. It is, I'm anxious to, from your perspective, to say, which is more difficult from an executive's point of view? This comes back to getting uncomfortable and being decisive. Making an enormous trade or making an enormous signing? Both are different levels of uncomfortable, different. You have to be decisive in both. Both are hugely important parts of organizations. Now that you've gone through both of those, I'm very anxious to get your response.
Yeah, so in my opinion, the more uncomfortable is the big trade, because that one kind of has a chance to beat you multiple times in multiple ways, right? Like, there's always the chance that the player that you are bringing in struggles, or, you know, isn't what you thought he was going to be, or the environment in Boston is not the best one for the player. And that is, in and of itself, really, really concerning. In one case, you know, in the case of the signing, the kind of cost is the dollars, of course, and potentially the opportunities to have used them differently. But in trades, there's the dollars still, but there's also the players that you give up. And
which you see the best in, by the way.
Always.
Right?
Always.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, you kind of have that chance to be beaten on two fronts, where potentially the player that you bring in, is not what you thought, and also the players that you send out go on to have, you know, incredibly successful careers. Now, when you make big trades, like, I think your baseline has to be that you are giving up really talented players in order to bring somebody in. And so, you know, when we think about the Crochet trade, like, those guys that we gave up, I'm pretty confident are going to be good big leaguers. But we needed to make a move that was best for our organization at this moment in time.
Have you ever had that feeling after you make that, after you say yes? I don't even know how that works. Like, you say yes, and he says, and Chris Kett says yes. Like, you ever had that?
I think you kind of go in with, at least this one, because, and I know a lot has been documented about this trade, but, like, because we had had so many conversations, I think we had a pretty good idea of where the yes was. So I don't know that any side was caught, you know, by surprise that the deal was made. But certainly in the direct aftermath of that, you start thinking about, where this goes and who these guys are and what they could become. And absolutely.
You've been following what they've been doing?
I do, of course.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, when a player gets traded for someone, he follows who, you know, like Kopech was telling me that. He's like, yeah, of course, like, I follow Chris Sale, what he's doing. Yeah.
Sure, and, you know, we obviously have multiple seasons that we'll use to evaluate this, but, you know, I think the most important part is Garrett has come in, he's embraced the organization, he's embraced what we're trying to do in terms of helping him, and, you know, hopefully he can carry into the season the momentum he's built this spring.
Stay safe in Mexico. All right.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate it, bro.